What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Grant and Danny live all over D.C. on 106.7 and in Richmond on 105.1 and AM 910. Watch us, 106.7 The Fan YouTube stream all day, every day. And you can listen to us wherever you go on the Odyssey app, always free. The exclusive sponsor of this show is the law firm Kondorian Murrah. They'll guide you and your family in the right direction. They're going to help you to set up a trust, create a power of attorney, or get you a will. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Mention us to get a discount, kmlawyers.com. Every single Wednesday throughout the football season, right now at 5 o'clock, we will get you the latest on the NFC East. So let's do this thing. We will start with the team that was by far the most impressive of anybody in the division.
And dominant.
That is Dallas, who whooped up on the Cleveland Browns 33-17 after Dak Prescott got paid. RJ Choppy is with us, who's on our sister station in the mornings in Dallas. RJ, I guess let's just start with that contract, actually. It came down the morning of kickoff in week one. Was that surprising? Did you guys think they were nearing the finish line?
We got conflicting reports all week, right? We kept hearing, well, it's going to happen before. And then we heard others saying, nah, it's not going to happen. As it got closer, we started to hear that it was like, all right, we kind of don't think it's getting really, really close. They're not going to do it. And then I got a text on Sunday morning from one of the Cowboys, big suite holders and everything. And they said that they had seen some higher ups that weekend, and they got the impression that it was going to happen. So, it definitely caught us by surprise that it happened that morning.
Want to get to Dak here in a second, RJ, but one of the talking points I remember coming out of Dallas after Dan Quinn and Joe Witt left was, well, what's going to happen to the defense through 1 week? Not much. That group looked awesome on Sunday. What are your thoughts?
You know, we're trying to figure out if it was the defense or Deshaun Watson just doesn't know how to play football anymore.
Yeah.
That's a major part of it because, you know, he reminded me of a backup quarterback, a third string quarterback. Like, you ever know when a backup comes in, the first thing they do is not throw the football. It's leave the pocket. And that was the first thing he did. It's like he just forgot the progressions. He forgot what he was doing. And that's the one hesitation that I have about this weekend's game and the performances. Were they playing the Browns with Deshaun? Like, did they make Deshaun look bad and them look bad? Or was it Deshaun Watson that made the Browns look bad and the defense look great? That's the only hang-up I have after this first week.
But to kind of drill down on Danny's point, you can imagine why we're curious with Dan Quinn and Joe Witt here, that they're supposedly these big defensive whisperers, and I'm watching now, and it's all the shouty shows one day after, but they're going, man, Mike Zimmer did some things we haven't seen. Look at this double-A mug in the A-gap, and Dan Quinn's never this aggressive, and maybe, you know, the players made Dan Quinn better, but Mike Zimmer's going to be the man, and I'm going, oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
Well, I mean, Dan Quinn mugged the A-gap a lot, too, when he was – I mean, Micah did that his first year, second year. He did that quite a bit. So they definitely had that. But, you know, the defense did look – you know, they did some unique things. It's a different style. You know, Dan's defense was more aggressive in the secondary, and Zimmer's defense – maybe a little bit more aggressive with the front and how they do things. So it's different. I mean, Dan's a good defensive coordinator, really, really good. As a head coach, I don't know. You know, the people in Atlanta called him Sergeant Slogan when he was the head coach there. I don't know how he is as a head coach because, you know, I didn't cover him as one. But, I mean, he's a hell of a defensive mind.
Sergeant Slogan is a 10. I haven't heard that. The one my buddy – I have
great.
A buddy in Atlanta that does radio there. And he always texts me and he goes, how's Coach Bro doing? Because, you know, he's just got the,
right.
the backwards hat and he's one of the guys. But Sergeant Slogan's pretty funny.
Looking at
Coach Bro, is it Coach Bro Kingsbury?
The staff right now. Yeah,
a couple of those actually.
Yeah, he's dude, bro. No, he knows a cool way to open six beers at once with his elbow or something. The offense, you guys didn't have to do very much. Dallas did in week number one, we didn't really get to see the full gauntlet. But what did you make of it through 1 week?
Honestly, I thought the running game was a little bit better than I expected it was going to be. Zeke looked spry for a late 20s running back. You know, they didn't offer up much of the second half. I don't know if they were trying new things or if Cleveland started to do some stuff. The Cowboys' second half offense was not great. You know, but then they get a special teams touchdown from Turpin. Lamb missed almost all of training camp. You saw Ayuk in their game with San Fran. He didn't have the greatest game. Lamb did not have the greatest game. And I think that, you know, a lot of that is the missing of camp. They'll be fine. It's a good offense. They are breaking in two rookies on the offensive line. That's something to keep an eye on. And that was definitely a fear with Myles Garrett. But he did not have like an electric type game. You know, Micah had a better game than he did.
Saints on Sunday at 1. I wouldn't have said this before week one, but I'm excited for that to see what New Orleans really is. That was two of the more impressive teams in the first weekend.
It really is, and that's just kind of the similar situation. You know, how much of it was New Orleans versus Carolina's just that bad? I don't know. I mean, I like Derek Carr, but Derek Carr, I know what he is. He's a bottom. He's a 16 to 22 ranked quarterback in the NFL, right? So you'll get a consistent, halfway decent quarterback who isn't going to put up 47 points probably again the rest of the year.
RJ, thank you as always, buddy. Be well.
You too, guys. Have a good one.
We'll see you, man. Hit that Eagles sounder, Darius. John McMullen covers the Eagles as the Eagles insider for SI. John, it was a while ago, it seems. It seems like a month ago they played on Friday night, but everybody's back safe and sound. What's the big takeaway here from Eagles week one win?
Yeah, well, I think the big takeaway is they got the win against another potential NFC contender. So if you look down the road, you know, we'll see how long Jordan Love is out, but if the Packers could have been relevant and they could have stole that game that is technically a home game from Philadelphia, might have been trouble. Very sloppy game, poor field conditions, as everyone saw. So I'm not sure how much you can take out of it from an evaluation standpoint, but they got the win. And 4-0 under Nick Sirianni in season openers, so they seem to find a way to win those week one games. A lot of sloppy play, though, especially from Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, and that's where I want to go, John. Am I off base? I tweeted something after the game to the effect of, if I was an Eagles fan, you survive, you advance, you get a win, that's all that matters, right? But that would not feel good. I mean, to me, coming into the season, my entire outlook on Philly is, does Jalen Hurts bounce back to 2 years ago? Because I thought he was incredible, top five, 2 years ago. And I thought he stunk for a lot of last year. And the two interceptions that he threw in this game were awful. I mean, if Jaden Daniels threw them this past weekend as a debuting rookie, they would have been gross. Like, they were as bad as you can throw.
Yeah, they were. And really, there were four turnover-worthy throws. The play before the interception in the end zone should have been a pick six. And Tayshaun Nixon couldn't come up with it. There was another play where Jair Alexander would have had an interception unless A.J. Brown turned into a defensive back, and he was able to do that and keep that from going the other way. I tweeted out PFF, Pro Football Focus, graded Jalen Hurts as the number 32 out of 32 quarterbacks. And there was some bad quarterback play this weekend. And they rated him dead last because of all those turnover-worthy throws. And it was his worst, according to them, his worst game as a starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. So a lot of Eagles fans got very upset when I tweeted that out. It's not my film grade. It's their film grade. And I don't necessarily agree with it because at least Jalen Hurts was able to make some positive plays and some of these other quarterbacks were not. But you shouldn't jump on the sword. He played poorly, very poorly. And if that continues, the success will not continue.
So, John, I know that's not a region of the world known for its overwhelming positivity, but if I were an Eagles fan, I would go, as sloppy as that was, as weird as all that was, we scored 34 points against a playoff team. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's still a lot to build on there. And most specifically, I imagine a couple folks would like to send flower bouquets or baskets to John Mara and Joe Shane.
Yeah, they do. And Saquon, you know, I think it's one of those situations where, you know, it's not a vacuum. And to me, Saquon's a very good fit for the Eagles because they have all these other playmakers. They can take advantage of it. And that doesn't mean he would have been a good fit for the New York Giants. But while I say that, the natural thing to do is look, Saquon has 3 touchdowns. They score 6 points. I don't think Brian Daboll and Joe Shane are going to survive that. But he's a great fit for Philadelphia. Does not mean he would have been a great fit for the New York Giants. They've already been trying that for 6 years. The Eagles have the ready-made playmakers. His wheel route touchdown, perfect example to that. They ran 2 in-breaking routes from A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, sort of mirrored that, took half of the back 7 away from the wheel route. And it was one-on-one, Saquon Barkley with a linebacker. That's something the Eagles can do, can accomplish with Kellen Moore. New York Giants couldn't do that, building their foundation on Saquon Barkley.
Monday Night Football's next up for Philly. They're at home. First time this season, technically, I guess, home game too. Hosting the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta, as you know, got off to a really ugly start. Kirk Cousins looked like he wasn't using that back foot. They weren't having him drop back from under center coming off the Achilles. What's the outlook for the Eagles in this matchup, do you think?
Yeah, I'm very interested to see if the Eagles can get the pass rush going. That's one of those things. Green Bay as well, and the awful field conditions and Sao Paulo. Nobody could get off their footing. Nobody could rush the passer with any consistency on both teams. So I want to see the Eagles if they can get that going. As you mentioned, Kirk Cousins clearly not healthy. I think, he tore that ACL late October last year. So they didn't even put him in a lot of play action situations. That's what Kirk Cousins does. So I'm not sure what Atlanta's plan is, but obviously him and the pistols, not a good idea. But the Eagles got to show they can rush the passer without Hassan Reddick. I'd give him kind of a mulligan again because of those field conditions, but they got to start proving it against what's going to be a stationary target in Kirk Cousins.
John, thank you as always, buddy. Have a great week.
Thanks, guys.
See you, my friend. Hit that Giant sounder.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our guy, Chris Bisignano, the Giant Insider, at Giant Insider on the old Twitterverse. Chris, I feel like it's that Spider-Man meme where the Giants and Washington are pointing at each other for who's going to finish bottom of the division after week one. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm not going to argue that after week one, right? That's what it seems like earlier, but it's early. We'll see. But, yeah, look, both teams, not a good start. Really ugly here in New York with the Giants, the 100-year anniversary, the legends in the building and all that, and then the Giants come out and lay an egg. So really ugly around here. I know Washington, things didn't go their way over there in Tampa, so an interesting matchup Sunday.
How bad was the Daniel Jones outing, and how early is it to start talking about his job security?
Well, I don't think it's early at all. How bad was it? Well, it was pretty bad Sunday. He missed throws, 2 bad interceptions, 1 pick 6 by Andrew Van Ginkle that he sniffed out all the way on that play. So, look, he didn't get the team in the end zone. It was not pretty, no question about it. And I tell you, man, if he comes out and he looks really bad in the first half of Washington or maybe the early second half, whatever it might be, I think you could see Drew Lock this week. I really do. I don't think Dable's going to wait around much longer because it was not pretty last week. And, you know, you don't want to stay too long because then you start looking like you're incompetent as a head coach, keeping a guy in the game that just is totally and completely mentally shot right now. So, no, I don't think it's too early to start talking about that.
Chris, how was the defense in week one? This is my biggest area of concern over the last, you know, 12 matchups where the Giants have just dominated, you know, this rivalry here. Defensively, I'm especially worried about pass rush, but how did that defense grade out in week one to you?
Just okay. Not bad. Not great. They didn't get to the quarterback, and obviously that's, you know, why they went out and drafted, traded for Brian Burns. Mm-hmm. So look, they have to improve in that. It's for some reason, it's like whenever guys like Thibodeau and other guys see those Redskins, see those Commander uniforms, you know, they seem to elevate their game. Like Thibodeau's best games of his career have been against Washington. It's a new system too. We got to keep that in mind. Shane Bowen is not nearly as aggressive as Wink Martindale was. Some guys getting used to that, a lot more zone. They were not good against the run the last 2 years. They were pretty good in the first half. Then Aaron Jones started getting them a little bit in the fourth quarter. So I would grade out like in the middle of the pack, like a C-type grade I would give them. And they're hoping to improve on that this week.
Where are they weakest and most susceptible just generally? Like if Washington ends up looking great and winning going away, how'd they take advantage of that?
Oh, on the back end, fellas. The Giants secondary is that's their weak spot. No question about it. Gave up 2 touchdowns last week. It was a huge question mark going into training camp, and it's still a huge question mark. That's their weak spot, no question about it.
What about when the Giants have the ball?
What's their weak spot when they have the ball?
Yeah.
Daniel Jones. Right now. Look, it's a revamped offensive line that had some issues up front a little bit, but they didn't play that bad last week. Not great. You know, not very good, I should say. Not bad either. There was times Daniel had time in the pocket, and, you know, he just didn't execute. But you look at this, you know, offensive line, and I think it will get better as we move along, as they play, because they really didn't play together at all summer. It was injuries. The receiver room is the strength of the offense, and, you know, they couldn't really do anything last week. But right now, you're asking me, all right, Chris, like you said, you know, what do you think's the week? Well, right now, it's number 8, Daniel Jones.
What's been your impression of Malik Nabers so far? One of our favorite guys in the draft.
Oh, he's been dynamic from day one. You know, he's got to learn some things, no question about it. But the kid is dynamic, man. He's special. He is, guys. He really is. But you know, you're going to have to get him the ball. He's going to have to learn a lot of things. Like Brian Flores really fooled the Giants last week. He came out and played a lot of soft shell on them, and they were expecting those heavy blitzes that Brian is known for. So Malik, at times, has got to recognize, you know, this is a recognized defense. Dable wants to see him to see what the D's doing and then run, you know, and react to what they're doing. Malik, at times, has some problems with that. He's going to learn, but physical-wise, I mean, he goes up, he gets it, contested catches. He's dynamic on the 9 routes, the verticals, and all that stuff. And he should be a special one, but of course we also need a guy that could get in the damn ball too, so we'll see.
We appreciate the insight on the Giants as always. Thank you so much.
All right, fellas. Good luck on Sunday. We'll talk soon.
See you, bud.
Thank you. Same to you. That's Chris Bisignano, the Giants insider with us on Grant and Danny. I've got a thought on a big NFL storyline from the weekend that I think is unpopular. And I actually want to just bounce it off you, Danny, and see where you're at. Normally, I got a pretty good beat on how you're going to go, and it's 50-50 for me.
Ooh, I like it.
If you'd agree with me or disagree with me, and I know
mystery.
I'm in the minority, I think, among the masses. Let's get to that next on G&D.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.